This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. With me today is Trebi Johnson, and she is the author of The World is a Waiting Lover, Desire, and the Quest for the Beloved, and the director of Vision Arrow, offering journeys worldwide that combine adventure, travel, the mythic journey, and the quest for meaning. I, too, have been in a great relationship where the other person was, and there was this thing that happened, and I didn't know what to do with it. And we tend to think that it's wrong, you know, that you're already somehow committing adultery just by looking at somebody else. And really, you can't be a person who's involved in life and love and passion in the world and not occasionally have yourself be drawn to another person. What's so incredible about falling in love is that we feel like we're our own best self. It's like the other person shines a light in us or lights a match in us, and suddenly everything that we were meant to be feels like it's coming alive or it's being illuminated. If that love can't be realized, we feel like now the fire will go out. Except the fire that is lit in us is really our fire. I like to think about all of this whole journey stems from fascination and attraction and allurement. You know, you look at a little child who's fascinated with just the junk paper that's in a waste paper basket. Attraction and fascination helps us pick out our best friends in school, the subjects we love, our favorite foods, our favorite colors. And then as we get older, we sort of tend to forget about that. And what is love and falling in love but big attraction and fascination big time? Trebi is even more than that, and I'm going to talk about more than that about her in some of as we come back from some of our other breaks. But for right now, I want to just dive in and let you know that I have been reading her book, and there's a concept in this that is both ancient and very new, that there's a divine beloved inside us, and that when we connect with that, something amazing happens. And Trebi, could you talk a little bit about what that is, and also how you were telling me a little earlier how people connect to you through this, why they seek you about this concept?
Yeah, I came to be intimate with this concept of the inner lover because when I was 50 years old, I was guiding one of my wilderness rites of passage trips in the mountains of southern Colorado. And my co-guide and I had with us a young man who was assisting us and also interested in learning how to do the work. And he was 15 years younger than I. And at the end of the journey, he told me he was in love with me. And everybody was just saying goodbye. It was sort of casual. And so he said, "I am truly and completely in love with you," he said. And I just did all the right, wise kind of thing. You know, I said, "Oh, thank you so much, but really it's about you. You're just projecting your own guide self onto me." And then about 2 days later, when I got home, it was like I just was suddenly completely ripped open. And this feeling of intense desire and love and passion filled me up. And I just thought, "Oh my gosh, I'm in love with him too." Of course, the thing was, I'd been married for 12 years. And not only married, but very happily married to somebody that I really loved. So I have this dilemma. What do I do now? Do I jeopardize this really good marriage and go off and be with this person? Do I just turn my back on it and say, "This is inappropriate. You're married. You know, you're too old. You just forget about it." Do I go into therapy? What do I do? And the feelings were so intense that I decided that the one thing that I could do, which was neither of the above, was to find out what passion itself really is by really going into the feelings and then going beneath them. And
what an amazing concept. I just have to say, you know, how many of us listening have ever been in a relationship that even was a good relationship and then suddenly felt these incredible
longings and passions and felt swept away by feelings for another person. And we, you know, and what an amazing turn for you to say, what about passion itself? What is the doorway that's opening here? And what is this meant to be in my life?
Exactly.
Tell me more, then what happens?
Well, and a lot of that's what so many people have written me since The World is a Waiting Lover was published. So they say, yes, this happened to me too. Now, I too have been in a great relationship where the other person was, and there was this thing that happened, and I didn't know what to do with it. And we don't talk about it. Or we do talk about it, we tend to think that it's wrong, you know, that you're already somehow committing, you're committing adultery just by looking at somebody else. And really, you can't be, in my opinion, you can't be a person who's involved in life and love and passion in the world and curious and interested in what you're doing and not occasionally have yourself be drawn to another person. It's just like, it's not, I don't think it's possible. And I certainly don't think there's anything wrong. And there are ways of finding out more about ourselves that don't have to do just with this particular person, especially if that relationship can't happen.
You know, I just want to breathe that in for a moment, that acceptance and approval, that if we're engaged in life, we will periodically be drawn to notice another beautiful human being, even if we're happily involved in a relationship, and that it's and that that's normal, and we just get to breathe that in. I'm alive in the world. I'm alive and engaged in the world, and I'm noticing what's going on. But then, Trebby, there's that feeling of like, what am I supposed to do? Is this, am I meant to like leave my current partner and run off with this person? Mm-hmm. Should I become polyamorous? Do I need to like shut everything down tighter than I ever shut it down before and push this away? What do we do?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And fortunately for me, I had a husband who really got it. You know, he didn't say, I told him about this after a few days, and he didn't say, get out of here, you're an adulteress, I never want to see you again. He just said, I'm surprised this hasn't happened before. When you do work you love, you know, people are beautiful, and you're beautiful, and of course this is going to happen. And as long as you're not going to go off and have an affair with him, you know, whatever you need to do with it, I'm supportive. And I think that was extraordinary. And without him, I don't know how this, what would have happened with this. But
and I just, you know, I'm going to say for a second, for those of us who are partners having this, I think what I just heard in that is if my partner comes to me and says, oh my God, I'm noticing that I'm attracted to someone or in lust with someone or in love with someone, that something amazing can happen if I'm the partner that's being told this. If
yeah.
I can breathe it in and say to my beloved, you know, that's normal. There's something to learn here. There's something to do here. And as long as you're not, you know, leaving me for this person, you know, I want to support you in discovering what opening is here. And I, you know, I want to talk about that because the opening, we're not talking about an opening that says I'm going to go, you know, rip off my clothes and their clothes and go, you know, pouncing through the forest with this person. We're talking about really an opening of spirit, an opening of heart and soul.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to talk more about that when we come back from a break and a word from our sponsors. This is so tasty. This is just, I think this is something we all have needed to know for a long time. So when we come back, we'll be talking more with Trebby, who wrote, The World is a Waiting Lover.
Listen to A Taste of Sex, Life in an Orgasm-Based Community, a weekly online audio program where orgasmic innovators share the intricacies of their practice on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. We're talking with Trebby Johnson. I'm so excited I can barely talk. Who's the author of The World is a Waiting Lover, Desire, and the Quest for the Beloved, a woman who's a lifelong adventurer in the inner and outer worlds, who's camped alone in the Arctic, studied classical Indian dance. Just there's so much that she's done and learned, and she's sharing this journey with us about the inner beloved and how we get attracted to someone externally. And then what does that mean? What are we supposed to do with that? Trebby?
Yes, sorry. I thought you were still talking. I love all your questions. I guess I was waiting to have you ask more.
Yeah.
What's so incredible about love, what's so incredible about falling is love, is that we feel like we're our own best self. It's like the other person shines a light in us or lights a match in us, and suddenly everything that we were meant to be feels like it's coming alive or it's being illuminated. And then if that love can't be realized, like if the person can't be with us or we can't be with them or they desert us or they leave or they die, we feel like now the fire will go out. Except what I discovered through this process of really going deep beneath my own desire for this young man, who I call Lucas in the book, was that the fire that is lit in us is really our fire. And we fall in love with somebody always because they see in us something that we can't perhaps yet see in ourselves. They see us as beautiful, as adventurous, as creative, and then what also happens is that we see in them things that we need in ourselves, that we want more of. Maybe they make us feel more adventurous or bolder or more disciplined to a spiritual practice or more disciplined in our work. So there's this like this double mirror going on. And so what we need to do if these loves come into our lives that can't be realized in a physical sense or a romantic sense, or perhaps ideally even when they can and we actually end up with the person, that's even the best, is to say, how do I need to develop these qualities in myself? What is coming alive in me that I need to keep alive and foster and nourish despite the other person? You know, that it's not them who's lighting me up, it's me who's lighting me up.
You know, I love that, and that reminds me of what one of my teachers has said, that when we hate someone, when we're angry, and oh, I hate that person, or they make me so angry, that what I'm hating in them is really something in me, is something in me that I haven't brought home in a compassionate way into my own heart.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I say, hey, they're so selfish. Well, maybe I haven't found my own selfishness and my own ability to be self-loving. And what I'm hearing is the other side of that is that if I look at someone and say, oh, you know, they feel, you know, they're so creative, or I feel so alive when I'm with them, or they make me feel so beautiful or so sexy, is that I'm actually falling in love with that, once again, that part of me that I haven't brought home yet.
Yeah.
That ability to say, what if I looked in the mirror and I said, damn, you're hot. You know, what if I looked at something that I created and felt my own joy and my creativity, and it's something, I'm so drawn to this thing and this other person that I haven't brought home into me.
Yeah. And for example, Lucas had a dream about me when we were in the mountains in Colorado before he made this declaration of love. He dreamed that I was standing in a cave on top of the mountain and singing him up to it. And so I represented to him this kind of gypsy, sensuous guide self high up on top of the mountain. And that was his soul's image of me. And I certainly didn't see myself that way, but I wanted to see myself in that way. You know? And so that image gave me something to try and bring more of into myself, like really owning that part of myself that was a leader, that was a sensuous older woman, that was magnetic and charismatic and kind of magical.
And so that same concept is that he gave you an image.
Yeah.
That lit you up. And then in a sense, you know, we start to fall in love with that you're the giver of my image.
Yeah.
I mean, what would I be without you?
That's right.
If you weren't here telling me what, you know, how you know, beautiful I was or what a stud I was, I wouldn't know how to access that myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so what I ended up in the book calling people like that was escorts to the beloved. Because after I realized, I started talking about this thing that was happening. You know, my husband was so understanding. I started talking to friends. Like, has this ever happened to you? And I found out it's happened to so many people. And then so there's this person in your life that opens you up in some way. And what do you do with that? What do you do with that if you can't go and be lovers with this person?
Yeah.
And so I realized what I ended up calling them is their escorts to the inner beloved. It's like they bring us to this doorway and they offer us the opportunity to open the door and step into this incredible new way of perceiving ourselves and our world and everybody in it. And but then their job is done. They need to walk on down the hallway again. And we can make the mistake of thinking that our life is over, or we have to follow them and throw ourselves at their feet and say, be with me, be with me, be with me. Or we can open the door and step into that room and realize our own bigness and our own possibilities and our old boldness in a way that we never could before. And as one of my mentors said to me, isn't it incredible? You can say, isn't it amazing how big love can be? And I can take that love and I can bring it into the world.
Yeah. And, you know, I have to say that I had developed a muscle of if somebody came to me and said, you know, Francesca, you're so amazing. You're so beautiful. I'm so in love with you. I had developed, you know, in the old days, I might have, you know, poo-pooed that, you know, like pushed it away.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm nothing. I'm not even what they're talking about. I don't even know what they see. And then there was a point where maybe I would have run away with that. Uh-huh. And then there was a point where I said, oh, they're seeing the divine in me. They actually are seeing something radiant in me. And I can breathe that in. I can say thank you. And I can, in fact, point them and say, you are on the road to your divine beloved. You know, I am a signpost. I on the road to your divine beloved,
yes,
whether that's external or internal. But I have to tell you, the muscle is not so strong on the other side that if something triggers me in another person where I'm like, oh, you're so wonderful. You know, isn't this person just amazing? And then I'm the one that's Twitter-pated and being carried away, is that that muscle I'm still growing to be able to say, they're the signposts to the divine beloved.
Uh-huh.
They are the pointer. It's whether I'm single and I get to have a relationship with them, or whether I'm partnered and I don't get to have a sexual relationship with them. Either way, I don't want to put all my projections of the divine beloved onto a person, a human being who will never really be able to live up to that.
Exactly. And even if you end up staying with this person who's your beloved, and we all start out with that way of feeling like the other person is the answer to all of our dreams. And by the way, I'm still happily married to my wonderful husband.
Okay.
Eventually that sort of glow of the first stages of romance is going to taper out because the other person disappoints you. You know, they're always late or their feet smell or, you know, you have to ask them for what you want over and over again in bed. Or, you know, something happens and they just start becoming a little less perfect and a little bit more themselves, which, of course, is what is their job to be. It's our job to become more of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, ideally, we take what we love and we're accompanying them through their journey and supporting their becoming as fully themselves as we possibly can, as we become our own selves as fully as we possibly can. And in that way, we both are stepping into the world as if it was a waiting lover.
You know, Trippy, I want to talk more about that. And also for our singles, if there's, you know, people who are in singles dating but maybe don't have a partner, how they can stay centered in the dating process and maybe even a meditation or a practice or something that they can take on, you know, a real practice for themselves. And then also for our couples that are listening, you know, that notice that they're being attracted to other people periodically or noticing that some of the, you know, the flame is kind of maybe dwindling a little bit in the relationship, maybe also a practice that they can take on individually or with their partner that can, you know, really enliven this sense of the inner divine beloved. After we come back from a break and a word from our fabulous sponsors who we are would love for you to support, because supporting our sponsors allows this show and shows like these to be here in the world. And we'll be back in just a few moments.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex, talking with Trebi Johnson, author of The World is a Waiting Lover, Desire, and the Quest for the Beloved. And Trebi, we were just getting to that point of what are the practices, what do we do to really take back the what we might call a projection from another person, whether we're single or coupled. It's a lot of pressure to put on another person to have them fulfill our fantasies.
Yes.
So what do we do?
Well, I like to think about all of this. This whole journey stems from fascination and attraction and allurement. And if we pay attention to our own lives, we get attracted and allured to things every day throughout the day. It's really the force of attraction and fascination guides our lives. You know, you look at a little child who's fascinated with, I have a little friends who have a little girl. She's fascinated with just the junk paper that's in a waste paper basket. It's more interesting than her teddy bear. So she's got this fascination for this. We're all fascinated with things every day. Attraction and fascination helps us pick out our best friends in school, the subjects we love, our favorite foods, our favorite colors. And then as we get older, we sort of tend to forget about that. And what is love and falling in love but big attraction and fascination big time? So when this happens, I always, first of all, recommend to people, write down the things about yourself that this person makes you feel that you're so fascinated with. Bring it back to yourself. You know, write down like the 10 things or the 5 things that you feel. This person makes me feel beautiful, makes me feel creative, makes me feel like I'm a person who's not afraid to go out and do what I want in the world. So it's like bringing that fascination back into yourself. And another really good suggestion, which I think one could do at any particular time, whether they were in a long-term relationship or just getting interested in somebody or between, is to take a piece of paper and number it from, say, 1 to 25, and on besides each number, write down something that is kind of calling to you at this time in your life. And you can be as mundane and ordinary and as fanciful as you want. Like, I'd like to lead a happening in Central Park, or I'd like to fly to the moon, or I'd like to learn how to do the tango. You know, I'd like to get in touch with such and such a person who's in my profession that I really admire but I think would never talk to me. Write down 25 things, and it's like you're telling yourself, you're letting yourself notice what's calling to you in the world. Because so often, when we get older, we tend to think that other things that call to us have nothing to do with what we're supposed to do. It's like we've got blinders on. You know, like we might be, so a woman told me once that every day as she walked from her car into her job, she would see this beautiful rose bush. And she kept saying, one of these days I'm going to stop and look at those roses. And she never made the time to do something that might have taken 15 seconds to do.
Mm. And I think what you're speaking to as well is really the richness of life itself. Life is not just, what is it, work, you know, spend, and then die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that life is meant to be this rich engagement of our senses, of our emotions, and that, you know, I say... You know, you all are listening to the spiritual show, people. I say that we're an embodied soul. We choose to take our spirit into a body to learn from the experiences of having a body, the senses, the beauty, the suffering, the emotions, the joys, the pain, and to avoid those and to say, well, I'm going to avoid the rose bush, or I'm going to avoid even thinking about someone that I am drawn to, or I'm going to avoid, you know, people know now that my mother died a few weeks ago, I'm going to avoid grieving, is avoiding life itself.
Yeah. And what I mean when I mean the inner beloved is exactly as you say, saying yes to that.
The inner beloved is about saying yes to what turns you on in life. And you might think of the inner beloved as an actual presence. You might have an image of it as a real person. It might just be a feeling moving up through your body, you know, from your groins all the way up through your body and sort of charging you and turning you on about life. It just might be a sense of excitement about the world. It doesn't really matter. It's about what the inner beloved or the divine beloved really is your connection with your own bigger self. It's about moving into the next step with as much engagement and passion as you possibly can. And it's already in all of us.
And there's layers. It's this beautiful layers. It's not, you know, I want to stand in front of the rose bush and smell the roses, therefore I need to become a gardener, although it could mean that.
Yeah, that's such an important point. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. It's that I feel that, you know, when these, whether it's the lust or the love for a person, whether it's the rose bush, whether it's anger or sadness, that this is like a package that's meant to be unwrapped. This is the difference between being reactive and active. Something comes to me, and now what? Let me unpack what that means. This is the examined life that's worth living. Who was it that said the unexamined life is not worth living? This is the examined life that is worth living. When we say, what is it about roses?
Yeah, and what is it that I can say yes to? And people think sometimes that it has to be like you saying yes to the mystery has to do with changing your career or falling in love with somebody else or going off to a foreign land in order to do something that you've never done before. But so often it just is about, I'm going to take half a second, you know, half a minute to smell those roses. I'm going to explore what it would be like to take tango lessons. I'm going to find out where I can take them. You know, I'm going to make a phone call to somebody that I'm scared to make a phone call to because I really admire them a lot. It's those little steps. And somebody told me once, it's a great idea if you do something every day that you're afraid to do and that your soul absolutely demands that you do. And I think that's just the best. That's the best, for me, the best advice and the best tip that I could ever give anybody.
I love that. Do one thing every day that you're afraid to do, but that your soul absolutely demands that you do.
Yeah.
And that distinction between being called and being driven. I think driven, once again, is that reactivity.
Mm-hmm. It's like being pushed, and being called is being beckoned from the mystery.
Being beckoned from the mystery, and that when we do that, our whole life begins to enliven. And absolutely, our relationship at home, if we have one at home, is going to enliven with that. And if we are single and wanting a beloved to, you know, an external beloved, a flesh and blood person to engage with, if my life is already rich and alive and filled with the passion of living, how attractive is that?
Yeah, that's pretty attractive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty attractive.
And it's more fun. And you know, there's joy in this.
There's joy. I'm inviting you into a life that's rich versus asking you to save me from a life that's poor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even when times are rough, this calling of the beloved is still there, pulling us into being bigger than we thought we could be and bolder and more passionate about everything we do.
And I love that, you know, looking for my passion, looking for my turn on. I have to tell you that talking in the show, it's like I feel, it's so excited. It's like my body feels alive. My vulva feels alive. That these conversations are a turn on.
Yeah, so I know. It's obvious in the way you conduct this radio program. It's great.
And Trevi, I just want to thank you so much. I could talk to you so much longer. I want to thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time for today, and I want to encourage everyone to find Trevi and The World is a Waiting Lover, Desire and the Quest for the Beloved, a fabulous book, and her website, www.visionarrow.com. And thank you for joining us today, Trevi.
Thank you. I had a marvelous time.
And I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us. And if you want to get the transcript from the show, find out more about Trevi, you can even call us or email us from there. You can do that at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com. Thank you for joining us in Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex.
Bye. find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.